Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And we are anywhere except at Substation 2 today. We're on the road at the Charlotte Airport to do a very special broadcast with Jack Christine, who is the Chief Operating Officer for the airport, and our broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us, a community built on care. Find out more online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. And our thanks to highspeedweb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. I've often said that if I was not broadcasting, I would be probably right here working for Jack in some capacity. Jack, thanks for letting us come back here. It's always been a challenge to get your schedule together because you got more stuff going on than human beings really reasonably have.
Happy to do it, Manning.
Tell everybody a little bit about your illustrious background.
Well, sure. I'm the Chief Operating Officer here at the airport, which means I'm responsible for all of the development that we do, all the operations that we have, and all the facilities that we maintain. And I've got a team of folks that help me do that. So I do go home and sleep. I very much do. But we have a great staff here that helps us run the airport day to day and do a lot of things that most people don't get to see. But are critically important to how we operate the airport. And so we're all here, still working hard, even though we don't have as nearly as many passengers at the moment that we typically would have. We're still going at it here.
Good. Let's give everybody an idea of the footprint of this place, how big it is, how many people you employ here, the economic impact, that kind of thing.
So we sit on about 6,000 acres here at the airport. We use about 4,000 of those acres for the airport facilities, runways, taxiways, terminals, all the different support buildings that we have to operate the airport. We have the aviation department itself as a department of the city of Charlotte, and we have about 700 positions here, about 650 employees currently that help us manage the day-to-day operation and support what we do. And we're kind of a city within a city, so it covers everything from bus drivers to trades folks to operations folks that specialize in the air side of the operation, land side of the operation, the terminal itself. And then I got our development team that does all the planning and the design and construction of the facilities that we do. We have our security folks. Obviously, that's a big thing in the airport. Sure. Everybody sees security. We cover a lot of ground here with a lot of different opportunities for folks if they're interested in the aviation industry.
You use the term credentialed credential community, people who work here. Mm-hmm. And that total number is what?
So we have about 18,000 badge holders on the airport today. Each badge holder would be an employee. So about 18,000 employees, what we call within the fence. That's the airport proper. And so it's a very, very big employment center for the region. And like I said, a lot of different types of jobs. The jobs I was just talking about are aviation department specific jobs. And you get the airlines that they do, from pilots and flight attendants and baggage folks, ticket agents, all the different things that they do. Our concessionaires provide all the food service and amenities that we provide. It runs the gamut here.
And one of the things you told me before we were on the air that you're doing is you're starting to get back.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Like I like the friendly service, and I like that the meat's fresh and the food tastes robotic. Good. They slice the meat right there in front of you.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Don't resign
it
your retirement plan.
It only started doing it about a minute
thumb.
Before we started.
Your own personal retirement is unique
to
you and
I let it go,
your
and it would go in and out.
Give
and
our common sense investing approach
a
shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044.
Yeah, try reconnecting right now.
Or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, emergency room director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rockhill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at the Charlotte Douglas Airport for our special edition of our Straight Talk program. There's some great big airliner just went over and interviewed. That sounds good, right?
I'll go with that.
Jack Christine is with us. He's the Chief Operating Officer here. Jack, we were talking about the numbers of people who work here at the airport, whether it be for you in the aviation department or for the airlines. It was a huge number.
Yes. So we have in the aviation department itself, we have about 700 employees. But from an overall perspective across the airport, we have about 18,000 badge holders. So that's about 18,000 employees that work within the fence. And that runs the gamut between airlines and our food concessionaires and our all of our support companies that help us do all the things that happen in the background that most people don't see.
Yeah. All right. Prior to the COVID, this was one of the busiest airports in the country. I mean, I'm stunned by the numbers of operations that you had going on here.
Yes. Yeah, so prior to COVID, we were having an average of about 800 departures a day.
That's just departures.
That's just departures. And so you have just as many arrivals as you do departures. So about 1,600 operations a day on the airfield. From a passenger perspective, in 2019, we surpassed 50 million passengers, which is was a new record for us. We are the sixth busiest airport in the country based on operations, seventh busiest in the world. And we're the 11th busiest airport by passengers. So very, very active facility. And if you're here, you know, at certain times, you know that it can be very challenging to get through our terminal with just because of the number of people that are moving through it. This was pre-COVID.
Yeah, pre-COVID. So let's go ahead and get to the nitty-gritty that your world has changed like everybody else's has changed. True?
It absolutely has. So, you know, obviously with the pandemic, that has a significant impact on air travel, not just here, but obviously around the world. We reduced our numbers to 95% of what we had before. So we went from having about 120,000 people a day going through the facility in March and April when things really had hit rock bottom. We had about 2,000 people a day moving through the building.
Oh, my gosh.
It was very, very challenging. But it's good though, that we're starting to see some passenger rebound. Locally, when you look at just our local passengers, we typically would have – we peaked last year at about 38,000 boardings in one day. That was our record. And we're really excited on Tuesday. It looks like we might hit 10,000.
Oh, wow.
And so we're a third of the way back, which, you know, normally in most businesses that would be catastrophic still. But we're encouraged by that because that does mean that air travel is starting to slowly rebound. We do think it's going to take a while, but we are here and we're continuing to operate. American Airlines, being our hub operator, has made it very clear that their growth post-COVID is going to come out of Dallas and Charlotte. And that's something that we see even today in the number of operations that we continue to have. Most airports really are having minimal operations starting to come back now. For us, on the other hand, we went from 800 departures a day, slid back to about 320 departures a day. We're now sitting at about 420 departures a day. So we're starting to see that slowly come back. We're hopeful that that continues that trajectory so that we can start to get people back traveling again. And that's our focus right now, is trying to make sure that when that does come back, that our customers feel comfortable moving through our facility, given all the different things that we're going to have to do in this COVID environment, as far as social distancing and face masks and things like that. Those are challenges in an airport environment, but we're doing everything we can to help the customers feel comfortable about traveling through our airport.
Ooh, we, those are some amazing numbers. Mm-hmm. So in this COVID world that we're in right now, mm-hmm. everybody wants to make sure we're wearing masks and mm-hmm. we're getting temperature checks and all that. Mm-hmm. Is that part of your modus operandi now that North Carolina has a 5 o'clock this afternoon? Says everybody has to wear a mask?
Yes. We were already strongly recommending that folks wear a mask in the building. The airlines already require it to be on the aircraft. So we've seen most folks doing that already. Now, as of 5 o'clock today, that is a mandate by the governor. And so our messaging is getting stronger, and we are providing every opportunity for folks to have access to a mask. We have masks available for free, as well as we have them available for sale in a number of the stores that we have in the terminal. But the goal is to have everybody wearing a mask when they're on the airport property for the foreseeable future, until we're told we don't have to do that anymore.
And the business about temperature checks, is that a TSA function?
So temperature checks are not required for passengers. There are a number of our tenants that are doing temperature checks. But at this point, we haven't been directed to do that from a passenger perspective. That would be challenging to do, especially in an environment like ours, where we're not just a local airport, but we're a connecting hub. When you take those temperatures, where do you take those temperatures? What do you do if somebody was connecting through here and they got on their airplane wherever they left from, and by the time they get to Charlotte, they have a temperature, but they're connecting to go somewhere else? Right. What do you do? Yeah. You know, so the FAA and nor TSA has done anything about temperature checks, mandating temperature checks yet. But we do have some tenants and some contractors who are doing that because they feel like that's a help to their employees.
Yeah. Don't let the horn honking in the background bother you.
Yeah, we all times.
Of all times. We're in the administration building here at the Charlotte Douglas Airport, which right now is located across from the Business Valet Express parking deck. Never fails.
Things are always happening here,
anyway,
no matter what.
It's always happening. Okay, so let's talk about what this massive expansion project that you're involved with, a $3 billion project that's going to span over whatever, 10 or 15, 20 years.
Well, it's hopefully a lot sooner than that. It's Destination CLT is our capital program. It's a $3 billion investment that we're making in the airport facilities. And it ranges from everything from projects as large as our fourth parallel runway and our terminal lobby expansion to the e-concourse expansion that we're working on right now. We've been working through Destination CLT now for the past, since 2015. So it's been already, we're already almost 5 years into it, and we're probably, I'd say 40% into the program at this point, working quickly towards 50%. The two biggest projects in Destination CLT are the terminal lobby expansion, which is already underway, and the fourth parallel runway, which is in the environmental analysis phase at the moment. But those projects continue to go, even in this environment that we're in right now. There are some projects that we have delayed because of the impacts from the pandemic. But a lot of the things that everything that was already under construction is continuing on. And a lot of the projects that we have in the planning phase, we're still continuing to do those things because, like I mentioned about American Airlines focusing their efforts in Charlotte as one of their key hubs, we do anticipate that the traffic will come back here quicker than it may in other airports. And we were already struggling with facility you know, overmaxing their capacity, the airfield, the terminal facilities. We have some real constraints in our system here, and so we need to be able to be ready to pull the trigger to do those projects when the market really says it's time to do it. That may be next year. It could be 2 years from now. We don't know yet, but our job is to make sure that when that time does come, we're ready to pull the trigger and provide those facilities to the tenants who need them.
You know, with the dramatic growth that we have in this region, when you plan these projects, how do you go about forecasting what you're really going to need 6 or 7 years down the road? I mean, it's like building a brand new road. It takes time.
It does.
Before you finally have a facility that you can use.
Yeah, we started the planning process for Destination CLT in about 2012. And actually, some of what we're doing now comes back even further than that. If you think about the projects that we did leading up into 2015, we rebuilt the roadway coming into the terminal. We built the new hourly parking decks. We built the roadway, the terminal curve front roadway project. We just finished that up. All of those projects, and those projects started, the roadway started in 2010, as an example. All of that was predicated on the terminal lobby expansion project, which just started a few months ago.
Wow.
We've been planning for this for a very, very long time, and we didn't roll all of the parts of the plan out. And if you look at, you know, what you can't see on the radio is right here that we're sitting looking at is the airport layout plan that's on my wall. And you see a lot of things on that drawing that are planned for the next 10, 15, 20 years. And that's our forecast. That's when our planning team looks at what comes next, it isn't just what literally comes next, it's what comes farther down the road and how do we make sure that the things we do now help facilitate that project 15, 20 years from now. And so it's an effort.
All these projects cost an awful lot of money. And you've got buy-in from the airlines. You have buy-in from the city of Charlotte. And when you hit something like this wall we've hit from the virus, how does that challenge you financially to be able to handle what you've already got on board?
It does give us some significant challenges. And that's why I mentioned there was a couple projects that we did have to put on hold. Because financially, we're just not in a position to pursue all of those at the moment. A lot of what we do uses multiple sources of funding. And so we may have federal grants, we may have passenger facility charge revenues, we may have portions of the project that run to the airline's cost. And so before we can move out on any of those projects, all those folks that have to pay for that have to agree with us that it's time to go. So things like the runway project being in the planning phase right now, that's good from a perspective of we're not looking to commit funding to that project at this very moment. There is going to come a point in time about a year from now where we're going to have to collectively make a decision with our partners. Are we ready to move forward with the project? If we are, we'll move forward. If we're not, we'll wait. You know, This development program has always been built on the premise that we only build what we need. We don't build it in advance and hope that they'll come. And so an investment like a fourth parallel runway or the taxiway system that'll support that project, that needs to be part of a broader discussion and broader concurrence with the partners that we rely on to help us pay for it and the users who end up using it.
And one of the hallmarks, if I remember correctly, about the Charlotte Douglas Airport is your cost of operations here for the airlines is like one of the lowest anywhere in the country.
It
and that's
is.
What allows them to operate the way they do and what makes the airport so attractive to them.
It is very much so. Our metrics are some of the best in the country as far as our financial performance. And that is not by accident. We work very, very hard to try and maintain a very low cost structure for all the carriers that operate here because we do believe that puts us in a position, especially in the tough times, where we will be able to succeed with our partners because that structure is set up the way it is.
Yeah, and all we have to do is look at some of the history of American Airlines, where they were heavily located in Pittsburgh, and how those dynamics changed, and they located down here, and so you've got to constantly keep that in your forefront.
We do.
Because they can move somewhere else.
It's just good business to provide a good quality product at the lowest cost you can. Right. And that's been our mantra for a very, very long time. And it's served us well and continues to serve us well, including in this environment where revenue is hard to come by here at the airport right now. I can promise you that. It's we have a significant public parking operation here, represents a large percentage of our revenue. And of those 28,000 spaces right now, we're only using about 4,000 of them, and that's the hourly parking deck. That is not where we financially want to be, but it's what we have to do right now. And hopefully, because the passenger numbers are starting to come up, we'll be able to start to expand back into our long-term facilities here very, very soon. But for the last 3 months, that's all we've needed. And that's an uncomfortable place for us to be.
And you've had the same issue in dealing with all of the businesses that you have inside of the terminal. I mean, those, they've been hurt as well.
They have. Our concession program is very strong. We have some really good partners that help us manage both our food and beverage and our retail operations. And they've struggled. A lot of employees that have needed to be furloughed. Because we didn't have the traffic, we couldn't support having those facilities open. But thankfully, passenger numbers are starting to come back up, and we're starting to bring some of those folks back and open up some of those stores again. And in the meantime, we've had to work with all of our partners to help them through this, and we're committed to that.
A lot of people love to fly out of Charlotte, particularly across the ocean. You had, I don't know how many dozens of international flights a day that you had. That's pretty well shut down now?
Yes, for the moment. Prior to COVID, we had, if I remember correctly, it was 37 different international departures or 37 international destinations. Right now, we're not running much of any international. All that is COVID-based. So we're hopeful that we'll be able to start going back into the international market here within the next couple of months. But a lot of that has to do with the impact of the virus and when some of those facilities are going to be open to flights from the United States. But we're working with our partners to make sure that when that comes, we're ready to step back into it and get back into the international market.
You know, business travel represent a large percentage of the traffic in and out of this airport. Mm-hmm. And now, since they aren't doing that, they've discovered this thing called Zoom, and which I know you have discovered, and you're chuckling about it. Yeah. Those people who can look out into the future and do forecasting and what have you, do they think that people are just going to live on Zoom?
No, I think practically speaking, there will be a certain component of business that can be done virtually post-COVID. But business runs on people interaction and being able to sit across the table from someone and look them in the eye when you're trying to close a deal is important for both sides. I don't think that the industry believes that virtual meetings are going to replace air travel. That just doesn't seem practical.
Right.
From a long-term perspective, will some of that happen? Sure. Yeah, right. There's no doubt. But there is a lot of business here that needs to happen, and not just in the United States, but even globally, that needs that interaction with face-to-face meetings.
Sure.
And so I don't think that will have a long-term material impact. It will have some. But I tell you, most of the folks that I talk to who haven't traveled in a while, they are itching to get themselves back out into the airplanes and going places.
I told you before we got started, I have a brother-in-law who travels all the time, and he has not been on an airplane since March the 9th. It's amazing.
And
he's itching, I can tell you.
There are a lot of people who feel that way. They don't want to be unsafe about it, but at the same time, that's their business. That's their core. That's what they do. And to replace that with all virtual meetings, I just don't see that as a long-term solution.
So, Jack, one of the things the airlines have been touting during this COVID period is, We're going to make our flights safer. We're going to, you know, clean all the planes after every flight. Mm-hmm. We're going to knock out the middle seat. We're going to wear a mask, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Is that actually happening?
It is actually happening. You know, the cleaning regimen for the aircraft is much more, I don't want to say stringent, but there's a lot more to it now than there was before. Masks are required on the aircraft for everyone, and I think that's a really good thing. The only thing that we know of that's changing, we just heard an announcement today actually that as of July 1st, we know American Airlines is going to start selling the middle seats again, and that's a capacity issue. Depending on the lens that you look at, could be a good or a bad thing. It's a good thing because if they're doing that, that means that they're getting advanced bookings to a level that are going to require them to have those seats available.
Right.
If you're concerned about proximity, you may not think that's the greatest thing in the world, but from the business side of things, I think that's a good sign because that means that there's a need for that capacity in the system. And so, I think that that's going to be a mixed bag
sure.
for folks. But I can say that the aircraft is very clean. There's no doubt about that. They do a really good job of getting the airplanes clean. And, you know, I think that if people do what they're supposed to do as far as wearing masks and doing what's asked of them, it'll be okay.
Jack, we got about 2 minutes left in the program. This half hour has just flown by.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Talk to us about the impact that this airport has on this entire region. That is the locomotive that is pulling the rest of the train.
It is a very significant piece of the economic impact of this region. Our airport supports about 225,000 jobs, and that's really important to understand as far as why we do what we do here at the airport. It's about moving people and goods. But it's also about providing good working condition, you know, good working opportunities for folks. And 225,000 jobs is a lot of jobs in this region. Not to mention that the actual dollar economic impact of about $6.2 billion a year, that's significant. And so, you know, we're really happy about our opportunity to provide that economic impact. Mm-hmm. And really want to make sure that we do everything we can to support that and to grow that as we continue to move forward, because that's really part of why we're here is to be a good neighbor and to provide a good opportunity for our region to grow.
Well, obviously, growth will be on everybody's wall here at the Charlotte Douglas, because it's not going to stop. I mean, this process just goes on and on and on and on.
Sure does.
It never stops, which is nice. I mean, that's good because it's all a reflection of the region that we're in and the growth that we're fortunate to be experiencing. That fourth parallel runway, once that's in operation and we get past this virus thing, which we will, at night, it'll be just lovely to watch all the lights of the airplanes coming out. Well, Jack.
It is.
I can't thank you enough for giving us time to be here. And I hope we can do this again soon. Once we get past this virus. But it's just a great story, what's going on here at the Charlotte Douglas Airport. And this guy has been part of it for a long time. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from the Charlotte Douglas Airport. And our thanks to Charlie Ruffalo at Substation 2 for allowing us to go on the road. Don't forget, fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, prepared right before your eyes. Slice, 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 garden, garden, garden. That's the way they do it down there. Our thanks to our friends at Founders Federal Credit Union for presenting these broadcasts every day. Relax, you're with Founders. And to Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And Good Pharmacy, thank you for being with us. Your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Have yourself a wonderful weekend, and we will see you on the radio come Monday. Bye.